Cold mornings, frosty windows. Yep, it's that time of year. So treat yourself and start your day with a cup of fresh roasted Sterling Roastery coffee, sourced from around the world and roasted multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. It's the kind of warm-up every sports fan deserves this holiday season. And right now, you can win one of three $50 Sterling gift cards, perfect for gifting or building your own winning lineup of Java in the morning. Enter today at sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways so you can wake up, warm up, and Sterling up this holiday season. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
125 defining moments, one legendary league. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and a great book is out right now, NFL Moments, 125 Icons and Stories That Define the NFL. It's a definitive visual history of the National Football League, packed with iconic images and untold stories behind the game's biggest plays and its greatest players. From the early legends like Red Grange to today's stars like Patrick Mahomes, this book is a touchdown for fans who crave more than just stories. So give your football bookshelf a Hall of Fame upgrade or snag a holiday gift for that NFL history buff on your shopping list. Pick up NFL Moments, available now at your favorite bookseller. You're just in time for an episode on trying to figure out who threw the first forward pass in college football. Timothy B. Brown of footballarchaeology.com joins us to talk about the Marietta debate one more time. Tim's up in just a moment to give us all the details.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history, and welcome to another evening where we get to spend it with FootballArchaeology.com's Timothy P. Brown. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Darren, good to see you. Look forward to taking another sling at the story with you.
that has quite a bit of meaning here. Tim is, of course, referring to his attire that he has on today. It's not a half a necktie. He's got a bad wing today, so he's on the mend, and we appreciate him being able to come in here and share some football history with us today.
Yeah, just for the record, I rotator cuff problem from falling when I was running a few months back, 2 months back. So, anyways, I'm repaired and recovering now.
So did your wife end up catching you when you were running away from her because you didn't take out
the
garbage?
No, she's not that fast.
No, okay.
I may not look it, but I've still got the speed of a gazelle. Still got to...
All right, well, that's good. You can get away from her and you can catch her. That's always a good thing.
Yes.
So yes. Good. All right, well, tonight we have an episode based on one of your tidbits that you had titled Marietta College's Claim to the First Forward Pass. What can you tell us about this story, Tim?
Yeah, so this one is kind of fun. You know, a lot of the stories that I end up doing oftentimes are driven in part, at least in part, by my coming across an image or I purchased some kind of thing on eBay, whatever it is. And this is one of those. It actually stemmed from, I bought an RPPC, a real photo postcard, that, you know, I wasn't 100% sure on some of the stuff when I bought it, but I got it cheap, and but it said forward pass Marietta-Athens, and it's in the, you know, it's in the story itself. So if somebody wants to, you know, go look, they can see the image. But in any event, you know, it's clearly from, you know, the first few years of the forward pass, right? But so I figured I'd get it no matter what. And so I pick it up. And so in part of it was that part of my attraction to it was that I knew that Marietta is one of multiple schools that at various times has claimed that they were the first school to throw the forward pass in a game. And that's not true. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you kind of go, okay, well, why would they make that claim? And so a lot of it's just that The specific reason they did is that they had their coach in 1906, so the first year of the forward pass, was this guy named Van Seerden. He ended up being a big time East Coast referee and lived a long time and was, just active, and sports writers knew him. And so when he's like 85 years old or 90 years old, he's telling people that he was one of the first, his team, he was the coach, his team was first one to throw a forward pass. So, this is like in the 1960s, and they don't have the internet yet, so they can't really check some of these things. So it shows up in the newspapers, and then it gets, syndicated, and multiple people pick up on it and say, okay, well, I guess this is the case. So that's kind of how the word came about that he had, that his team had thrown the first forward pass. And there was, there's something to it. He had just graduated the year before, or he played the year before at Wesleyan, and their coach was a guy named H.R. Rider, who actually was one of the first guys to promote the overhand spiral. There were only like three teams that threw the overhand spiral in 1906. Wesleyan was one of them. And so there's something to the claim, but as I did the research on it, I found that even his team, meaning Marietta, in their first game of the season when they played Ohio Medical College, both teams threw forward passes, at least according to the newspaper reports. So his claim that he had done it against Ohio, which was the last game of the season, doesn't make sense. Plus, there's, literally at least 1,000 passes had been thrown by that point in the season. They weren't many, but there were enough. So anyways, it's just one of those things where, for me, it was kind of this journey of trying to figure out kind of two things. One is, how do I prove? In part because one of my old roommates is a professor at Marietta, so I was kind of like, hey, this isn't true, and I'm going to show you, right? So I had another motivation behind it. And so anyway, so I kind of do all the research and just checking out all their games and all the stuff. And so it turned out that they were they just Marietta dominated that season. I mean, they blew most of their opponents away. They only had like one touchdown, one safety, and one field goal scored against them the whole season, something like that. And but you want to, one of the other funny things about it is when you read the newspaper accounts of how long this pass was, sometimes the day after or the following day, it said it was a 47-yard pass. I've seen accounts that said 49, 52, 56. But one of the funny things about it is this Van Durham or Van Seerden, as he was looking back on it, like literally 60 years later, he's saying, well, it was on the other side, it was on, we were on the, on our side of midfield when this pass was thrown, and it ended up, being this long touchdown pass. So he's saying, well, so that made it like a 52-yard pass. Because, thinking it was like on the 48-yard line. Well, in 1906, they were still playing a 110-yard field, right? So if you were on the 48, it would have been a 57-yard pass. Or no, it would have been a
No,
62-yard
yeah,
pass.
62, yeah.
So anyways, it's just one of those things where, just the way the mind works, you recreate the pass based on what you know today. So it's had some of those elements going on, which is just kind of fun. And I mean, I'm not blaming the guy. I'm just kind of showing, kind of how the mind works, and sometimes the way you remember things aren't exactly what's true. So then the other piece about it, and this one you kind of almost have to, you kind of need to see the image, on
Yeah.
the in the
And
tidbit.
folks, you can find the link here on the YouTube notes or on the podcast notes on Pigskin Dispatch. You can find that and take a look at the images on Tim's site as he talks about it.
So, the image, it has like a lot of the RPPCs do, the photographer that published it, like wrote on the negative, forward pass, Marietta, dash Athens. And so Athens refers to Ohio University because it's in Athens, Ohio. And at the time, most people called it Athens rather than Ohio University. It's kind of like Ames was Iowa State. Everybody called it Ames. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so, but the you can't tell in looking at it whether the guy who's kind of the primary guy in the picture is the guy catching the pass or throwing it. And because it's just odd. I mean, just the positioning is odd. So then I'm trying to figure out, okay, well, most teams didn't throw the overhand spiral that year, so maybe they didn't in this particular instance. And then, you know, is it just based on the timing of the image? It's hard to tell. Or, you know, was it 2 steps after he threw the pass? Was it in the midst of throwing the pass? Anyways, I was able to at least confirm by looking at other team images that the guy who threw the pass was the guy pictured, right? So at least I knew it was the halfback that threw it. And so, you know, he had just released the ball. And again, he's in some kind of goofy position, but it was 1906. So anyways, it's just kind of, this is kind of a bizarre one, but it's one of those where it's like, I got this image. I showed, you know, mm-hmm. I was able to show that they weren't the first team to throw the forward pass, independent of the image. And then I was more or less able to confirm who it was that was throwing the ball. You know, and it was the big throw in the game that, you know, kind of won, that didn't win the game for him, but helped them win the game and finish their season undefeated, blah, blah, blah. So anyways, so I'm actually going to meet up with that roommate next week. We're getting together, you know, we lived in a house, a bunch of people together. So we're getting together next week, and hopefully this will have showed up by then, and I'll be able to show it to him and say, hey, look, this authority on the internet says that Marietta did not throw the first forward pass. You better trust him.
And it was you saying it.
Yeah. Well.
You described yourself. You know, the image is really interesting. I mean, first of all, it's 1906. You have the 5-yard grid pattern on the field where the gridiron came from that thing. Right. So that's great. And it really come out really nice. The other thing is, either this photographer caught that frame just perfectly where the ball was, or this was truly a spiral with this big girth ball, because it's looking like it's a trajectory of a pass going downfield quite a ways. So
yeah,
really kind of, it's not the, you know, end for end or anything. So
yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm writing this book on the early forward pass right now. So I've been scouring, you know, looking, I mean, I've looked at so many images trying to find the ball in flight, and, you know, I've got a bunch of them where the ball is perpendicular, you know, mm-hmm. straight up and down. But there's, you know, depending, you know, even that as it's rotating, it could be, you know, depending on when the camera catches it, it could look like it's a spiral. Anyways, it really kind of reminds you of the difference between a still photograph and the videos and movies that we take for granted, you know, and, like, there's no movies, to my knowledge, of anyone throwing a forward pass for the first maybe 10 years. I'm not sure. I haven't found one. I'm not sure I found one that's pre-World War I, a forward pass on film. Maybe they're out there and I just haven't come across it.
But yeah, the only thing I can think of is like silent movies, but they're all in the 1920s and they're not game film. They're probably staged, but
So, I mean, you know, I found one thing. It's, you know, some Notre Dame guys in, you know, in more of a practice session throwing the ball on out routes. So if anybody out there knows of early film of somebody throwing a forward pass, let us know.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, Tim, you share these great stories, and like you say, how you research them from the RPPCs and other items that you might buy or things that you read in old newspapers. And you do this quite often in what you call your tidbits. And maybe you could share with folks where they can enjoy some of this great information you share.
Sure, just go to I publish football archaeology on Substack, but the site is called footballarchaeology.com. So just find that, and you can subscribe. If you do, you'll get an email every time that I publish a story. Otherwise, just go to the site, check it out whenever you want to, or you can also follow me on Blue Sky because I, every time that I publish one, I link it on that as well.
All right. Well, Tim, we really appreciate you telling us this great piece of football history, and we'd love to talk to you again next week about more.
Very good. Thank you.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
You did not see their faces on the Wheaties boxes, nor did they have the headlines, but they were breaking barriers, one pitch at a time. The integration of minor league baseball, a history and player register, 1946 to 1959, by Rick Swain and Gary C. Fink, shines a light on the overlooked heroes who paved the way for future legends. From dusty bus rides to hostile crowds, these players fought for a place in a game that did not want to see them win. More than history, it's a tribute to courage, perseverance, and the power of a game to change. Honor their legacy today and grab a copy of The Integration of Minor League Baseball at your favorite bookseller.